We're pleased you can join us for Journey Through the Word with Pastor Rob and Pastor Terry. This book-by-book journey through the Bible is designed to help you in your daily walk with Christ and how to live out the truth of His Word in loving obedience. For more information about Journey Through the Word or West Hickory Baptist Church, please visit us at www.westhickorybaptist.org. We pray that Journey Through the Word blesses you and encourages you as you seek to advance His kingdom. Be prepared for His Word to change you. Well, good afternoon and happy Tuesday, everybody. Pastor Rob here along with Pastor Terry.
Hey.
So, hey, how's it going? So, we're pleased to be back with you with our third episode of Journey Through the Word. And we are going to dig in here into Genesis chapter 3. So, before I hand it over to Pastor Terry, let's just have a word of prayer. And then, Pastor Terry, you take it from there. Father, we come before you right now just to thank you again for the opportunity we have to dig into your word, sit around and just to build ourselves up in your word, Father God, and just that it will always equip us to know the truth, Father, of who you are. And so, Lord, we pray for this session. We pray for all those who are listening today, Father God, that are coming from various backgrounds. And so we don't know who all is listening out there, but we pray that you'll just, this will be a blessing to them. And Lord, if there's someone out there who's listening that doesn't know you, we pray that this will be the day that you speak to their hearts and they hear your voice and they come to saving faith in you, Lord. And so, Father, we just hand this over to you, and we ask for your guidance and for your knowledge as we look at your word this afternoon, Father. We thank you and we love you. Amen.
Amen. Before we go any further, I just want to take a moment and speak on the inspiration of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. The Bible was written by men, moved by the Holy Spirit, and God is God's revelation of Himself to us. Therefore, the Bible is authoritative, infallible, inherent, sufficient, and eternal. The Scripture has God for its author, salvation for its end, and without error. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. I'll just give you a minute there to turn there, but 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. The meaning of authoritative, having authority or proceeding from authority. Every word of the Bible has God's authority. Why is that? For it came from God. For God is the author of the Bible. The Bible is infallible, incapable of misleading, and never fails. Therefore, the infallibility of Scripture is true, trustworthy, and true. The Bible is inherent, free from error. The Bible is all truth and contains no error of any kind whatsoever. Thus, the inherentability of Scripture is all truth and contains no error at all. The Bible is sufficient, and it is enough. By faith, I believe in the inspiration of Scripture. Just turn with me to Romans 10:17 this evening. Romans 10:17. It says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By faith in Jesus Christ, I believe in the doctrine. And doctrine means what's being taught, what we believe. So by the doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture, that is, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy 3:16. But if we go back to 2 Timothy 3, we can look at 3:17. What is it? It's profitable that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You have anything you want to add to that, Pastor Caleb?
Nope. I agree wholeheartedly with you.
All right. And now we're just going to go back. And today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 3, starting at the first verse, Genesis chapter 3. I want to sit here for a minute. And And just, we know that this is the inspired word of God, and there's some things that doesn't give us a reasoning for things. I think Pastor Kaler once mentioned that we don't see the reasoning for Satan here that's revealed in the first chapters of Genesis. Do you?
No.
No. So really, this is the first time we see Satan. And let's just read verse 1 now. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The serpent, here in verse 1, is sowing the seed of complacency. Subtle represents crafty, deceitful, more than any beast. The serpent was more crafty, more deceitful than any beast in the field, of the field. The seed that he was sowing was the seed of complacency. It is being sown by the serpent. The serpent begins to question God's word here, as we see in the second half of verse 1. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of it, of the tree of the garden? He's saying, did God really say that? Is that what he really said? He's coming to Eve and asking her that. This is not what God said in chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. We mentioned that last week, or the other week when we was together. We asked that you just to keep that in mind of chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. We're just going to read that real quick. And it says, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. See, there in verse 16, he said, of every tree of the garden you are freely to eat of. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I want to bring out here at the end of verse, I want to just take a minute and see Eve's response here in verses 2 and 3. Let's read them. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. I want to bring out here at the end of verse 3, where Eve says, ye shall not touch it. God didn't say nothing about touching it. Do you see it in your Bible?
Nope.
No, God didn't say nothing about that. And it's not that you least you die. No, you shall die if you eat of this fruit. That is what was happening. The seed of complacency has been sown. The seed has taken root in the form of temptation here in verses 4 through 5. I want to just to read them to you real quick, and we'll move through that. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Listen to the response of the serpent here in verse 4 and 5. You've seen these things. Listen to the response. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the days you eat thereof, then your eyes shall open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The temptations, ye shall be as gods. It is not is this not the cause of the problem today in our society? That we can be as gods? Is that not the problem that we, that as men and women, we want to be our own God? I can live any way I want to live for the moment. I want to serve my own lust, my own pride. I want to do what I want to do without any ramification, meaning consequences of our actions. We can look at our day in our society, how sin has run rampant in our society. We can see that drugs and just murder and just different things has been going on in our society. And, you know, last week we spoke of the sanctification of marriage, that marriage is in between a man, one man, and one woman in verse 24. Here we see that and everything God made up to this point of chapter 3 was perfect and good. But today we have seen where confusion and the craftiness of the serpent and of sin has set in and caused confusion to even distort the office of what God ordained of marriage. Marriage is in between one man and one woman. we need to remember these things. We need to adhere. We're not God, and we cannot change what God has so gratefully designed, a man and a woman for a lifetime together. When we serve God, we see the results of that. But the results of the seed of complacency in our lives lead to the seeds taking root in the form of temptation, which is watered by Eve's response in the temptation, which leads to the produce of the fruit of sin, which leads to separation from God. Rob, do you have anything that you want to add to these verses here?
No, I just think it was, I think it's interesting to show you how quickly sin affects us. Satan only had to speak twice. It's interesting, you know, that it only took the serpent to speak twice to throw off trust in God and obedience between man and God. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you that we see that so much in our society or in our culture that we don't think of ourselves as being a God, but we do. As you were saying that, the thought came to my mind that we live in a selfie generation now. You know, you take your phone and you take a selfie.
Yep.
What are we doing with that? We're seeking people's praise with that, you know, because of we just want that praise or those accolades of, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. So yeah, we definitely live in a generation and a society that we seem to praise sin.
I agree. And it's all about me. And I mean, we have so many, we can even think about abortion, how many children that pass that don't even experience, and that we, just because of the result of sin, because of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the temptation has set in. And just by these two things that the serpent said separates us from God, and it leads to sin, and sin leads to degeneration and condemnation. We just need to realize that as we do this, and I mentioned a few weeks ago that we need to, as God, the Bible is God's revelation of himself. And in chapter 1, we spoke of that God stepped back and saw everything that he made, that it was good. We, as individuals, as Christians, walking with God, we need to step back and consider what we're doing. Is it lining up with the Word of God? Let not complacency in our lives that we start to have temptation and start to doubt God's Word. For you do see it in our society today, how our society casts doubt on God's Word and God's power. Do you see any shapes or forms of that, Rob, in our society?
Sure, all over. I mean, that's... wasn't going to go there, but look at the Super Bowl halftime show this year.
And so there's a lot of things that we can just look at society at, and that how we have degenerated, how we've not really moved forward, but we have moved back in our morals and different attributes. And we're not, as a nation today, we need to consider what we are doing, and we need to get back to the Word of God. And without God, we are lost and condemned and on our way to hell, separated from God for eternity. I want to stop here, and I'm going to close in prayer. But next time, we will speak on God's plan of salvation. Yes, God has a plan to redeem us, to save us from the results of sin entering into the world by Adam and Eve's actions. Today, we covered part of the fall, and next week, or the next time that we're here, we will look at God's plan of salvation. Before we close, do you have anything?
No, sir. Not today.
All right. Well, let us close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the time that we have in your word today, Lord. I hope that it reaches the heart of some individual out there, Lord. I ask that your love and your truth and your word will come into some heart, Lord, and give them life and give them direction, Lord. Help them in the way and help them to know your Son, Jesus Christ, for he is God. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.